This is January 27th in the year 2001, and this is Bob Gilgore interviewing Mary Manning at her home at 321B McDade Street.
Good afternoon, Mary.
Good afternoon.
I appreciate your taking the time to talk with me today. I'd like to begin with a very broad question, and that is, tell me what it was like growing up in Chapel Hill.
Well, I was brought up in Carver on Broad Street, and we more or less could just kind of walk across the hill and be in Chapel Hill. And we were a tight-knit family, so mostly when I was growing up, we were around family, seeing cousins, brothers and sisters, and we were all real close, more or less. There was my aunts, and they would be at our house two or three times a week, and we'd go to their house nearly every day coming from school. We would stop by there.
They lived in the same neighborhood in Carver?
Well, we lived in Carver. They lived in Chapel Hill because they lived over on Sykes Street. And we would pass through there coming from north side to back home. And we just more or less played with each other, and we'd sit around at night and listen to my father tell us stories about when he was growing up. And we really enjoyed that.
Do you think storytelling was common in the African-American community?
Yes. Someone was always telling a story. A lot of times, some of the children in the neighborhood would be there listening to the stories also. And my father was like the uncle of the neighborhood. Everybody called him Uncle Bud. And he watched that he was disabled due to diabetes and having been born with polio. He walked on crutches all of his life, so he was home and my mother was out working, but the children in the neighborhood would be there with Uncle Bud. Either he'd be watching them or they would just be there playing. And when I was growing up, if you did something wrong, anybody that's any adult that saw you would spank you. So we didn't really get into a whole lot of trouble because we knew that no matter what, some adult on the street was going to see. Because most of the time my father was sitting in the yard doing chair caning, and he would see if nobody else didn't see. So you needed to get a spanking.
So if you got a spanking from one of your neighbors for something you did wrong, did your neighbor then tell your parents?
Yes.
You get it again?
Sometimes.
What did the spanking consist of?
Where they get a switch and they whoop.
How many whoops would you get?
Well, with my father, probably one or two. My mother, you might get five or six, maybe more.
Depending on what you did wrong?
Yes.
Well, the reason for my asking is, I think today, with the child abuse as an issue, it's important to understand what a whooping meant.
Well, I tell my mother now that she would be still in jail if they had enforced child abuse then.
What was the relationship of your mother and father like?
They had a good relationship. Whatever my father told my mother, she tend to agree with it. She believed whatever he told her was right. And they never had major arguments. Sometimes you might hear them arguing, but it wouldn't be nothing outrageous. Usually if they were going to argue, they waited until we went to bed. You were supposed to be asleep, but sometimes I would be awake and hear them arguing. but it would never have any fights or anything like that.
Were you the oldest in the family? Or?
The oldest of seven.
Seven. That's a big family.
Yes.
What kind of a house did you live in to hold seven children and two parents?
Would you believe a two-bedroom?
Where did you put everyone?
Well, they had two beds, three beds in the room. Somebody would sleep on the sofa. But we was always happy.
Was this a frame house, a wooden frame house?
It was a frame house and it had some type of siding on it. Siding looked like bricks, but it was, I guess you call it. Like stucco stuff. The stuff was rough, but I don't know what to call it.
Did you have, what kind of heat did you have in the house?
We had a wood stove for heat, and we had a wood stove for cooking.
Did you have a wood stove in your bedroom?
No, just had one stove in the living room.
So you had to leave the door open to get heat in the wintertime?
Yes. But you get heat into one bedroom from the kitchen and heat into the other bedroom would come from the living room where they had the wood stove.
Who cut the wood?
My brothers and my father, before they got large enough to cut wood, he cut wood.
So your father made a living by caning chairs, and your mother, did she work also?
She did domestic work. She worked sometimes two and three jobs a day, babysitter, cooking, washing, and ironing. So I remember when I was about 10 years old, somebody had bought some clothes by to be ironed. And my mother wasn't home, and they need them at a certain time. And that was my first attempt at ironing. So I ironed them for her. And I guess I must have done a good job. They didn't complain about them.
So your mother was a hard-working woman.
Yes.
How'd she have time to raise seven children working more than one job at a time?
Well, she and my father shared the responsibilities. She was at work and he was at home, so he would take care of us. And they shared the responsibilities of cooking. He would start the supper before she got home.
Who was the boss in the family?
Believe it or not, my father was the boss, even though he was not working and be at home because of his age.
Did he do most of the disciplining?
No, she, my mother did that. He would tell my mother when she came home if we had done something. He said she needs to get a whooping. My mother did the whooping. I never remember my father whooping me.
Why do you think he didn't whoop you?
He didn't whoop anyone. He would tell my mother. She would take that day I heard that we knew the woman. She would do it.
Sounds like he was, I don't know the word to use, but was he a very loving man?
Yes, he was.
You think that's why it couldn't hurt you? How did you interpret his turning over the discipline to your mother?
You know, I never really thought about it, but just thinking about it now, I think he did that so that if we were going to be mad with someone, we would be mad with my mother and not him.
He didn't want anybody mad with him, huh?
But, you know, even though we got whoopings, I don't remember ever really being mad at my mother for whooping me. because she didn't ever whoop me unless I deserved it, or she thought I deserved it.
How many whoopings would you get in an average month, say?
It's hard to say. If you didn't do anything, you didn't get any. But if you did anything that won a whipping, you can rest assured you got it.
What kind of education did your parents have?
Well, I think my father had an eighth grade education, and my mother, she always said she came with him the third or fourth grade education. But my father could really read and write, and my mother couldn't read too much. She could write a little bit. But over the years, she more or less taught herself to read.
Did you have a dictionary or encyclopedia or books at home?
We always had books. We had dictionaries, encyclopedias. My father read all the time.
Did he read to himself or did he read to you or both?
He would read to himself sometimes and he would read to us children.
Was that a ritual at night or during the day?
Night.
So he sort of read to you every night, most nights?
Most nights. And he always helped us with our homework.
Was education, your education, stressed?
Yes, we had to go to school. Once you came to school age, you had to go to school until you graduated.
So he expected you to graduate?
Yes, he did.
Did he expect you to get more education after graduation from high school?
Yes, he did, but when I graduated first, since I'm the oldest, I didn't want to go to college, so I didn't go. I went to work. Then I got married when I was 19, and as I had my three children, they all were in school, I went back to Durham Tech to be a nurse.
So did you get an LPN or an RN?
LPN.
And how long did you do nursing? Mentioning an operation, did you have a bypass? Well, let's go back to your childhood. Did you feel you grew up happy?
Yes, I was happy.
Did you feel poor?
Well, no, I didn't. I guess I probably was in high school before I really realized that we were actually poor.
How did you realize that?
Well, a lot of things that other children had, we didn't have. But we always had plenty of food and plenty of clothes, but other things we didn't have that were not necessities we didn't have.
What was mealtime like in your house?
At meal time, we would all, children would sit in the kitchen at the table and eat. We'd sit down and my mother would fix our plates.
Did you have a regular time that you had your meals?
No, we could have dinner about 7.
And all the children were there at the same time?
Yes.
And your mother and father?
Well, our father most of the time wouldn't come into the kitchen because he walked on crutches. He made said he needs to send a little money or something, and he didn't get me something. But, you know, not sitting at the table because with 7 kids, it was not enough room for 7 of us and husband at the table together.
Must have been noisy.
Oh, yeah.
Was there a lot of competition among the 7 children?
No. We'd all sit in there together and do whatever we needed to do. Everybody had certain chores that they had to do, and we just do them because we knew that was our job.
Did your parents try to teach you anything about segregation and how to deal with the problems that African Americans faced at that time?
No, not me, because when I was going to school, I was never involved in segregation.
You went to black school?
Yes.
Did you have white playmates, or were all of your playmates black?
All my playmates were black.
When was your first encounter with whites in this area?
Well, with me, my first encounter was when I, you know, started working. And I started babysitting probably when I was about 15.
Did you have any problems?
No.
So you were pretty much sheltered in the black community?
Yes.
Is that a common thing that parents would keep in the black community, would keep their children right there and not allow them into the segregated world?
When I came along, yes.
And you think this was, do you think this was like a policy that they wanted to have to protect their children?
I think it was.
Is there anything else that you want to share about you, your childhood, that stands out in your mind? Oh, I wanted to ask you about whether you had electricity in the house.
Yes, we had electricity.
Whether you had running water.
Yes.
And whether you had sewer, whether you had an outhouse or whether you had the toilets in the house.
Well, we had toilets. When I was growing up, we lived in a schoolroom house, and the toilet was on the back porch. You had to go out the back door to go into the toilet, but it was not an indoor room.
I'd like to talk about Lincoln High School now. Just stay with that, and just pick your brain clean as much as I can about what you remember from Lincoln High School. And so I won't even ask you a question other than, what are your memories of Lincoln?
Well, Lincoln High School, to me, we all went to school, and you were all, you know, you stayed small and separated into different categories. Because when I went in the 7th grade, there were three separate class 7th graders. And that was my first experience at having to change classes, you know, go to a different class, but you stopped it.
Do you remember the year that you were in 7th grade?
Went to 6 years at Lincoln, so.
don't know if this microphone's going to pick up what you're saying about whether it will close the sanctuary. I'm pretty sure. How did you get to school?
We walked to school. At that time, we were living on Main Street in Carver, and we walk on up Main Street, go around Murphy Road.
How long a walk was it? Did most of the children walk, or did you have a school bus?
They had school buses, but that was for people that lived out in the town. We always walked to school.
Did you walk alone, or did you walk with a group?
Well, we walked with, usually it was a bunch of us going to school, and we just all walked together.
And what time would you get there?
Around 8:15, 8:30.
Right, so right when the school was about to open.
Yes.
And the school opened at what time? About 8:30?
About 8:30.
Did you have two separate parts of the school, one for the middle school and one for the senior high?
No. Lincoln High School, just 6th through 12th, 7th through 12th grade.
And you had 3 7th grade classes. Do you remember about how many were in your class?
No. But I know when we graduated, it was a small class.
And how many graduated?
But I know it was a small class. It was like my classes. It was probably somewhere between 25 and 30.
That was in 64?
Yes.
Did you go into a special door when you were at Lincoln? So one entry or multiple entries?
There were multiple entries. The front door faced Merton Hill Road, and when we were coming to the parking lot, there was a door there on the side. And go to the end of the hall, and there was another side door.
Did anybody greet you at the door?
No.
No.
Sometimes they have patrolmen there open the doors for you. Or if you got any kind of problems, then the patrolman would report it to the principal.
Now, the patrolman, was that a student?
A student.
They have a special uniform?
They would call it safety patrol. They would have little, they cross the patrol room, pass around the race, and then they have like a little badge up there to see it, safety patrolman.
Was it noisy in the school when you were in the hallway?
Sometimes, but most of the time, it wasn't noisy. Because if you were in the hall making a lot of noise, you got in trouble.
Did you have to walk on the side of the hall, or could you walk anywhere you wanted along in the hallway?
You used to walk to the side.
Walk on the right or walk on the left?
Either side of the left.
Do you remember your teacher?
I can remember the teachers, but I don't remember what grade I was in.
Any particular teachers who left their mark on you?
Well, I really liked Miss Pope. That was a home economics teacher. And I guess I liked her because she would teach us how to cook. Then once we started getting into sewing, I liked sewing. But by then I had realized that I was poor and didn't always have money to buy fabric. and but she would take us with her up to Hall River, and we didn't have any money. She would buy fabric for us, and we could stay out of school and cut out our patterns and make whatever we wanted to make, and she would help us. And sometimes she would have fabric left over from some of her projects at home, and she'd bring it to school, and she'd get this.
Did you have to pay for your lunches at school?
Well, I always carried my lunch. If I didn't, then we had to pay.
Did some children not have money for the lunch?
Yes.
And how was that handled?
Well, I don't know. I don't know how they handled it, because I always had money or had a sandwich from home. But I remember as you got on up into higher grades, I guess somehow or another you got free lunch, but I don't know how you did that. I don't know whether you had to fill out papers to get it or not.
Did you know the teachers who taught at Lincoln?
Well, yes. When I was growing up on Broad Street, Mr. McDougal, which was the principal, he lived on Broad Street. I knew Mr. Peace. I knew Mrs. Peace. I knew Mr. Smith. And his wife. Knew all of
them. So you knew a lot of the teachers. Did they know you and your parents?
Yes. Everybody came. It was like a small community, and everybody came to know each other.
Did you feel the teachers were your friends or part of the family, or just teachers trying to get you to learn some information?
I think they were just teachers. Some of them would be trying to help you, but it wasn't like they were, you know, it wasn't like they were my friends or anything. The people that you knew would be really working with you. And I said that was because they knew you and knew your family. And if someone in your family, they always say, well, you need to do such and such, such and such person did such and such. They want you to be just as smart as whoever was ahead of you. Now, I didn't have to go through that with my brothers and sisters because I was the oldest. But I always would hear them saying, they always trying to compare me with my sister.
Were you a good student?
Pretty good. That's a pretty good student. But you know, if you lost your school books, you'd have to pay for them. And I remember in the 11th grade, I had lost the book. I didn't have the money to pay for it. And I asked my mother, she said she didn't have it. And I said, well, I'm not going to school today. She said, yes, you are. I left home, and I met up with some friends. And we played hooky from school. But I got caught because my mother had managed to come up with the money that I needed to pay for the book. And she called for me to come back and get the money, and I wasn't there. Because if you didn't pay for the book, you couldn't take your final exams until the book was paid for. So I just didn't go to school. Then I had to go the next day, and my mother had to go make arrangements for me to get back in school for playing hooky. And I ended up taking all of my exams except for the one I can remember. I had missed my English exam that day that I played hooker. So they gave me an act in English, in incomplete. So the first day of school, I had signed up for all my classes. And then Mac Duke called me to the office to talk to him. He talked with me and he explained that I was in 12th grade, but I could not graduate if I had not passed that 11th grade English that I was not passing. So he told me that if I didn't get in any trouble, he would allow me to take 11th and 12th grade English. Same, you know, not the same class, but, you know, I had to take both of them that year. So I did. And was able to graduate with my class. And that was a bad mistake between cooking and not going to school. I didn't have any problems passing through classes, but I often thought that if I had gone to school, I wouldn't have to be taking two Englishes at the same time. Having to take two English, I had to drop my trigonometry class so I could take the second English. I only got a chance to go to trigonometry class one day. And math was one of my favorite subjects also.
What was graduation like?
Oh, we were so excited about graduation. And about boarding and capping down. I was so excited. And I said, I probably won't get my class ring. That class ring. I was so excited. Took pictures. My parents were able to come up with money to pay for pictures. Just so exciting. My dad had commencement and they were having on campus somewhere. We had commencement in the gym at Lincoln. And I was so excited. I was just as nervous as I could be when I came down and walked on that stage and see my performance.
Did anyone besides your mother and father come to graduation?
Oh, my uncle. I was excited. Lived in New Jersey, and he came home to graduation. But I couldn't say he came to my graduation. He came because he had two nieces graduate. Because my uncle's daughter was in the class with me, so we graduated together.
Did you have parties after graduation?
No, we didn't really have a party.
Afterwards.
You know, I don't. Well, I wasn't really, you know, a popular person. I don't really know I'm going to a party.
Speaking of parties, were there gathering places for students before school or after school?
Well, after school, you would go up on Graham Street, what is that? Well, Graham Street is just out there. Up on the block. You know, and there was M&M Grill. And right there on Front Street, right there where that peak, right there beside that where the pizza place is. That was where Mr. Ben Baldwin had his little, I don't know what they actually call it, but he had a jukebox. He sold drinks and hot dogs and sodas. And that was where everybody would gather, either at Mr. Ben Baldwin, that would be at nighttime in the grill. You would just stop by there on your way home from school, you know, maybe have sodas, french fries, hot dogs, whatever.
So M&M Grill on North Graham and the Ben Baldwin. Where was Ben Baldwin?
It's right there on Franklin Street, right there at the corner of Graham and... It's a piece of place in
there. Did you play any sports or play in the band or
no,
do anything?
Didn't play any sports. Didn't play in the band. I was always in the choir, but never.
The choir at school?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Can you tell me about that, what that was like?
To me, we just go to the choir and just sit in there and practice singing. And I don't remember us ever singing anywhere but at school.
Where did you sing at school? Did you sing?
In the auditorium.
Uh-huh. How often did you do that?
Oh, I don't even remember, but it wasn't that often.
How many were in the choir?
It's quite a few.
Did you go around to any of the churches singing?
No.
Did you have a regular meeting in the auditorium?
You're not really, not unless you were having a play or they would always have something going on in the auditorium. The old school. You know, it wasn't large, you know, that large of a school. Because the auditorium, the front auditorium and the gym, the same facilities.
So you set up seats in the gym to have an assembly in the auditorium. Did you have a once weekly gathering there, or did you remember anything like that, Mary?
No, I don't remember.
Did you go to any of the sporting events, the football games or the basketball games?
Yes, I would go to the football games, and I went to some of the basketball games.
Could you describe what the basketball games were like? Did they have a big crowd or a small crowd?
Well, it wasn't big crowd like they have now, but usually there were quite a few people there. For football games, there was always lots and lots of people, you know, adults and the students, because Lincoln High School had a good football team. I forgot how many years they went undefeated. It was quite a few years. I think Lincoln High School probably lost maybe two games during my whole time going to Lincoln.
From 58 to 64?
Mm-hmm. It was about two games.
Did they have any rituals that stand out in your mind? Anything that they did there at the game beforehand or afterwards or halftime that made them special?
Well, halftime, the band was always out there on the field performing or doing something. And then homecoming, they would crown the queen at halftime.
How did they decide on who was going to be the queen?
I really don't know. I think we had to vote.
When you had homecoming, did the band do any extra marching?
Well, they always looked like they were competing against the other bands that were there.
Did they march through the streets to get to the stadium? What was it, in Carborough?
Yes, they would march through the streets. They'd come down Franklin Street on that in Carborough. Ballpark was out in Carborough.
What was the name of the ballpark?
I think it was the Lions Club. That's all I can remember. And I know it was out in Carver behind where Carver Town Hall is.
When they would march through the streets, would there be crowds out there looking at them?
Yes, it would. There'd be crowds.
Did the children who watched them
walk behind
them? They walked behind them?
Yes.
Did they try to sort of mimic what the band leader was doing? Or?
Some of them would, uh-huh. Yes.
Can you tell me about the band leader?
Band leader. When I first went to Lincoln High School, I think his name was Jimmy Rowe, and band leader. But like they were always in, you know, in charge, doing all these things to still. I can remember blowing the horn, and after every time you blow the horn, that must mean for me to switch from one step to the next one.
Did he have a baton?
Yes.
Did he twirl it, or was it just one of the
two? He would twirl it.
Did he carry more than one baton?
He just carried one.
Uh-huh. What kind of uniform did they have?
I want to think that the uniform was white. Not white, but, you know, kind of off-white. Had all these bands of, what it's called, but like ropes, you know, going around.
When you got to the game, and the team came out on the field, did they run through a paper sign, or did they just meander out on the field? Was there anything special about their entry to the Lions Club field?
Not to me, it wasn't. I just remember them coming out on the field.
Uh-huh. Anything special about their uniform?
Yeah, I think the uniforms were black and the black had black and orange was school colors.
Did you get white people coming out to see the games also?
I don't remember seeing any white people, but I'm sure there probably were some there, but I just don't remember.
Did you go to the prom?
I went to the prom in the 11th grade.
Mm-hmm. What was the prom like?
Oh, they had decorated them, and so I guess they served them some kinds of something. My mother went with me and just danced. That's right.
Was she your date, or did you have a date? And
I didn't have a date.
Uh-huh.
No. Uncle Morris had her. Uncle Morris.
What?
Uncle Morris danced, and we just went. And I don't even remember dancing. I remember sitting at the table, and next thing I knew, my mother was asleep. Well, you know, like most children wouldn't have gone if the parents said. It gone with them now. But I didn't even think nothing about it. It was fine with me.
Did they have a band there, or did they play records?
I didn't even play records. I don't remember no band.
Did they have any special decorations?
They decorated, but I don't even remember what the decorations, you know, were. You know, they always use crepe paper.
Did you go out afterwards or just wake your mother up and go home?
I went home.
Do you remember any other events that took place, like May Day?
I remember May Day, but always everybody be outside and they'd be dancing around the maypole, wrapping the pole. And, you know, we'd just be having fun outside out. That's the only thing I remember doing is wrapping the pole. And everybody out looking and laughing, just having a good time.
Did you have a Queen of the May or anything like that?
I never seen a Queen. They may have had one, and I just don't remember.
Are there any other things that you remember about the school that you want to share? I wanted to ask you about the principal. Do you have any memories of Mr. McDougall?